This is Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, Racial Justice Editor at Yes Media. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Israel has admitted to responsibility for dropping a bomb on an ambulance outside Gaza's largest hospital, Al-Shifa, claiming that Hamas forces were using it for transport. Gaza's healthcare infrastructure is on the point of collapse as healthcare workers and facilities are stretched beyond capacity amidst an unfolding bloodbath, treating casualties with dwindling supplies and often no power. In a new op-ed for Yes Magazine, physicians Ghassan Abu Sitta and Rupa Marya write, quote, "This is an engineered catastrophe designed to maximize human suffering." And they add that the work of rehumanization is the medicine we urgently need. Rupa Marya now joins me. She's a professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco, co-author with Raj Patel of Inflamed, Deep Medicine and the Anatomy of Injustice, and her story that she co-wrote in Yes Magazine with Dr. Ghassan Abu Sitta is called The Deep Medicine of Rehumanizing Palestinians. Welcome to the program, Rupa.
Thank you so much for having me.
What are you hearing right now about the healthcare system inside Gaza? I understand you're in touch with physicians who've been working there, those who've been working in refugee camps, those who have at one point or another done work inside Gaza.
Even right now, I'm just texting. I apologize. But there's just been a nonstop cry for help from the healthcare workers there on the ground who are experiencing their hospitals being bombed while they are in the operating room, while they are taking care of patients. I've heard anywhere between one third to one half of the hospitals now are no longer functioning due to a lack of fuel and a lack of critical medical supplies. And for the healthcare workers there, this has been absolutely tragic. When we don't have electricity and medicine, the ventilators stop working. And then there's the question of how long can you actually handbag someone until you can no longer, you know, support their respiratory, support their breathing. So, you know, when the electricity goes off, the neonatal intensive care, the incubators for small children can no longer function. And so we're seeing just, you know, the casualties stack up from the restriction of supplies, which have been going on for 16 years during the blockade, but are obviously much worse since Israel declared a complete siege of Gaza. On the ground, I've been in touch with Dr. Abu Sitta, and there's just a, you know, just it's just been unlike anything I can imagine clinically, where, you know, doctors are using vinegar to treat pseudomonal infections, which is a deadly bacterial infection because there are no medicines, where, you know, cesarean sections and other surgeries are happening without anesthesia because there is no anesthesia, where operations are happening by candlelight or by cell phone light because there is no electricity. And with the specific targeting of hospitals by claiming that these are, you know, Hamas terror cells, it is becoming a real challenge and frankly a violation of international humanitarian law. That, you know, our places as of taking care of people who are wounded are sacred places. No matter who we are or where we are, these are places where everybody is welcome, where everyone should be treated with, you know, protection and dignity and safety. And so to see them just bombed is just truly an atrocity and impacting healthcare workers around the world right now who are, you know, wanting to speak up but not seeing the kind of support around the institutions that we're in, whether it's the American Medical Association or even our own institutions of practice, are, you know, either purposefully silencing people who are trying to speak out, threatening their jobs, or not willing to speak out specifically about, you know, the violence that's happening in Gaza, which has just been horrendous to watch.
Tell me about Ghassan Abu Sitta, who you co-wrote the Yes story with, The Deep Medicine of Rehumanizing Palestinians. Where has he been? Where is he now? And give us a sense of the kinds of things he has been witnessing that he writes about.
Well, I encourage everyone to follow him directly on Twitter, or on Instagram. He posts regularly when he can, when there is no power outage. He's also in touch with many different people, giving interviews, describing the clinical situations, seeing evidence of white phosphorus being used on children. Colleagues of his who, are scrambling between operating in the operating room, then going home, dying at home when their residences are bombed. So like the stress on the healthcare staff, while trying to take care of an overwhelming and, number of casualties has just been quite horrific. And it really speaks to the need for an international call, especially from the medical community, for a ceasefire. That, we don't have to take sides, but we can just say, it's actually just bad to be bombing hospitals and to be bombing ambulances, and children should not have to suffer, under these under in this way that we're seeing. And so, how do we reconnect our hearts as human beings, and also our moral obligation as healthcare workers and physicians who have taken oaths to stand together as a community of global healthcare workers to say, actually, under no circumstances should hospitals be bombed.
Let's actually watch a short interview that Ghassan Abu Sitat did with press. This was posted on social media.
As a plastic reconstructive surgeon, I can tell you that the children who are now well over 8,000 wounded will have a lifetime of repeated surgeries to reconstruct these wounds that have been inflicted on them. Children, once wounded, as their bodies try to grow, they need repeated surgeries until they reach adult age. The hospital, 16 hospitals have been damaged, and those shattered lives and those broken bodies. Unfortunately, as plastic surgeons, we can fix the broken bodies, but we cannot fix the shattered lives.
We hear a lot about the deaths. Tell us something about the kinds of injuries that you're dealing with.
So these blast injuries cause massive wounds, which rip the flesh off the body, cause multiple fractures. In addition, initially, we were just seeing lots of thermal burns from the kind of flame of the blast. Recently, we started seeing more and more phosphorus, white phosphorus burns.
So you've seen evidence of white phosphorus.
In 2009, I was in Gaza and worked when the Israelis had widely used white phosphorus. And I mean, it's a very typical pattern. White phosphorus, because it's a chemical burn, burns in a different way than thermal burn. When the pellet of white phosphorus lands on the body, it burrs and burns itself right through to the deepest part of the body, either bone or sometimes even internal organs.
It sounds horrific. Dr. Abu Sita, thank you very much indeed, and good luck to you.
And that is a short clip of an interview that Ghassan Abu Sitat did. He's a physician who has been working in Gaza, and he co-wrote a story with my guest Rupa Maria that was just published in Yes Magazine called "The Deep Medicine of Rehumanizing Palestinians." Rupa, you and Ghassan write about how the dehumanization of Palestinians is necessary, as a precursor to this massacre. I mean, it's really hard for human beings to kill other human beings unless they convince themselves that those they're killing perhaps aren't really human. So tell me a little bit more about that, from a physician's perspective.
Well, that is, that is really the crux of the matter. So how do we, throughout history, dehumanize one another, and what role does dehumanization have in one group of people exerting their will over another group of people? Whether it's, one group booting another people off of a piece of land, or another group coming in and doing the same, the dynamics of colonization and colonialism really rely upon the use of dehumanization as a tactic to dissect our innate ability to care for one another. And so, you know, as we're looking around the world and seeing a rise in both Islamophobia and anti-Semitism, these are things that have to be categorically rejected, that, you know, Muslims, Jews, Christians are able to live in peace here in California where we live. There are ways that we know how to live in community with one another, how to take care of one another, and how to envision different ways of being together on the planet that have nothing to do with, you know, eradicating a whole group of people off of a piece of a piece of land. And dehumanization, that language, is actually a way in which our brains and neural circuitry can get wired in a way to accept these kinds of atrocities so that people can become numb to them, or as an Israeli politician recently said, that the children of Gaza have brought this upon themselves. So of the casualties we've seen consistently, 40% of them are children, 30% are women. We're largely seeing the death of women and children in Gaza. You know, the world becomes numb to it when you've had, you know, decades and decades of repeated policies and language that cast one group of people as not as worthy or disposable. And this is a tactic that's been with us very much in the structures of our society over the last 600 years. Raj Patel and I wrote about it in our book, Inflamed, Deep Medicine and the Anatomy of Injustice. And it is precisely this kind of thinking that we, as people who are interested in peace and in building relationships together, in seeing you know, Jews and Muslims and Christians and everybody and atheists and Sikhs and Hindus and people all living together without having to oppress each other. That requires a different mentality than the one that has been the dominant mentality of our lives. That has been a legacy of colonialism. That has been a legacy of these systems of domination. And so I, you know, this is the work that we need to do, both in calling for a ceasefire right now so that we can just stop the violence, the immediate violence, and then sitting together in real deep discourse to think, how do we create a world where people's rights to homeland and people's claims to homeland can happen in a way that doesn't require the annihilation of one another?
Tell me also about the way in which physicians like Ghassan have themselves been wiped out, are being wiped out, journalists being wiped out. These are supposed to be, you know, these are supposed to be protected in, as are civilians, of course, in any war. But even the small and dwindling number of physicians in Gaza who are there under extraordinary circumstances trying to, you know, do their jobs are being killed.
Right. And this specific targeting of healthcare facilities, again, is designed to maximize human suffering, and is why when we talk about this work, this is what genocide looks like. This is when you're trying to wipe out a people. When you are hitting these healthcare facilities, you're hitting people who are extremely vulnerable. You're hitting people who are ill. The Al-Shifa Hospital, the last I spoke with Dr. Abu Sitta, had 1,700 patients there when its maximum capacity is really 700 patients. So people are on the floors and in the hallways and in the corridors on mattresses. So they're doing the best they can with the resources that they have. And it's not that much because of the chokehold that Israel has had on Gaza for 16 years, but most, you know, most severely since October 7th.
Well, finally, Rupa, what is it going to take here in the United States to rehumanize Palestinians? You know, it is a conflict that's unfolding, conflict, I use that word, with huge caveats. It is a war that is happening very, very far away. And yet, of course, we Americans are intimately enabling it via our tax dollars. And our elected president is basically saying he's on the side of the warmongers no matter what, no matter how many Palestinians are killed. And so I'm wondering how that rehumanizing work happens here in the U.S.
I think it requires us getting together. It's been beautiful to see the work of Jewish Voices for Peace, the solidarity building between groups of people who identify that, you know, Jewish safety and Palestinian safety are not mutually exclusive. They actually occur through exactly that, rehumanizing one another, rehumanizing our relationships, understanding that historically we have been neighbors, people have been neighbors, people have been in the same community historically. And that these dynamics of power that create apartheid in Israel, these dynamics that create Gaza as an open air prison, these dynamics of human rights abuses that have persisted for several decades are ones that need to be contended with and dismantled so that we can build something different. And those different things come from relationships. They come from rehumanizing. They don't come from, you know, casting one group as, you know, the Antichrist or whatever you want to say. And, you know, and the other group as some sort of savior. This is about wrangling with our histories and recognizing that in the work of rehumanizing ourselves as people who want to see our children grow in peace, as people who want to see our elders enjoy the benefits of old age in safety, in health and wellness. This is something that will require a mass movement of people from around the world, because what's happening in Gaza right now is just a heralding of what's to come in other places. As you know, the elite class is, you know, still trying to get as much oil and as much natural resources out of the earth as the earth is on fire. And it is absolutely critical that we start working to build movements of radical solidarity to shut this kind of thing down.
Thank you so much, Rupa, for joining us, for all the work that you do. We'll post a link to your op-ed with Ghassan Abusita from our website, risingupwithsonali.com. Appreciate all you do.
Thank you so much, Sonali.
My guest has been Rupa Marya. She's a professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco, co-author with Raj Patel of the book Inflamed: Deep Medicine and the Anatomy of Injustice. She recently co-wrote an op-ed in Yes Magazine with Dr. Ghassan Abusita called The Deep Medicine of Rehumanizing Palestinians. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, racial justice editor at Yes Media and host of Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Our audio podcast is on iTunes and Spotify.